Let's go.
The Roar, now offering great sports talk around the clock. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Co-Roofing text line. We'd love to hear from you. Real quick, before we get back into the action, I want to tell you about our friends at Carolina Top Dressing. If you're looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2025, go with the folks at Carolina Top Dressing. They're committed to serving the upstate, bringing golf course-type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, and soil conditioning. You can ask them about their latest top dressing amendment in Carolina Mix or sign up for any of their turf services by visiting them online at www.carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, the folks at Carolina Top Dressing say, go Tigers. John, I'll let you have the floor if you have the details pulled up of what may go down as the most irrelevant trade in the history of the major leagues, but it did happen to involve both of our teams yesterday, so we got it. When stumbling upon the player that the Braves traded for is just statistical profile, I literally just said what out loud, and I turned off my phone, and I went about my day because the Braves can't hurt me anymore.
So, before we get into what the Braves did on the field yesterday, a trade was made between the Pirates and the Braves where the Braves sent minor league outfielder Titus Dumitru and cash considerations to the Pirates in exchange for right-handed pitcher Hunter Stratton. Stratton has been with the Major League Ball Club now for the last 3 years. He was originally drafted by Pittsburgh in 2017. Was granted free agency in November of 23, then was re-signed by the Pirates. Was granted free agency in 24, was then again re-signed by the Pirates. And this year, let me make sure I have this correct. Yes, in three games, three appearances, he has a cool ERA of 23.63. Has given up 10 hits, 7 earned run, and walked 2 so far this year. Has one strikeout on the year. Your problem now.
I guess. Cool. Anything further on a scouting report here from a Pirates guy? I mean, this guy's pitched in, what, like 50 games in his career total? And hasn't been very good at any stage.
So last year, he came out of the bullpen 36 different games, threw a little over 37 innings, had an ERA of 3.5. With a 2-1 record last year, struck out 33, only walked 7. So had some very good stuff last year. So what I'm seeing is this is the type of reclamation project that Alex Anthopoulos likes to take on. This is the type of pitcher he wants to put into his bullpen, with his pitching coach and see if he can get something out of him.
Yeah, I'm looking at the profile right now on Baseball Savant of last year, and He had a good walk percentage, hard hit percentage was good. I understand the vision here. I think this guy's worth a flyer if the exchange was a high A ball infielder, right?
Who's hitting 220 on the year.
Yeah, who cares about that?
I mean, honestly, though, his batting average looks like, and his batting line looks like he could be on the major league club with the Braves right now.
Shoot, I think I could roll out there right now. I could bunt. I might be able to get bat to ball once, and that might be one more time than Michael Harris can do it. So that's got to be worth something. But yeah, no, I understand the vision here from Anthopoulos in all seriousness. Like, this guy's got a 2-year sample size where he was a serviceable pitcher. You know, the analytical profile last year looks okay, pretty decent in limited action. This year it looks terrible, but again, he's pitched in 3 games, so he doesn't really even qualify. The pitching is not the problem. I don't have any doubt in my mind that they'll be able to turn him into a competent player. And if they don't, then guess what? You lost nothing and you can just cut bait for free. So, maybe this was the big trade that Anthopoulos was talking about on the radio on 680 The Fan, where he said the Braves had a move coming. I don't know if I thought it was for Hunter Stratton. But
this ain't it.
Yeah.
This ain't it. I can pretty much guarantee that.
Yeah. The Braves need as much help as they can get in as many areas as they can get right now. So if you're telling me that there's a guy that could potentially help the major league club in exchange for a guy that was never going to help the major league club, that's probably a move that's worth making in the position of Atlanta, which leads us to the topic at hand, which is what happened on the diamond last night in Atlanta. Braves 0, Angels 4. Angels get back to 500. Braves fall to 8 games below 500. Grant Holmes was phenomenal. 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts. Stop me if you've heard this before. The pitching was good enough to win, and the bats were not good enough. Dylan Lee had his worst outing of the season yesterday. There were people nitpicking Snitker last night on the bullpen decision-making, and you know what? It was bad, but at the end of the day, they scored 0 runs, so does it really matter? Would be my response. Like, I hate to be that somber with the tone, but it's not like they scored. They could have played until 1 in the morning, right? And 0-0 until 1 in the morning.
Sure. And listen, we do it all the time. We can continue to do it. We can pull up the Braves box score and feel bad about ourselves. I understand that. But something I want you to please tell me that it's not a trend. Because there's something that's presenting itself as looking quite alarming to me as an outsider here. And that's Ronald Acuña Jr. at the plate.
Yeah, his last 7 have been bad. He struck out 4 times last night. Golden sombrero.
He struck 4 times last night. Struck out twice in the last 2 games, each against the Phillies. He was pulled very early in the Friday game, so I'm not trying to knock him any bit there, but then was 0-for-4 in the last outing against the Mets. And this has been a few outings in a row where we've seen things kind of trending a downward turn. Now, his batting average from June 17th was at .392, and it sits here at .350 today.
Acuña swinging,
which is still ridiculous, yeah. Numbers that is at .350. I'm not trying to.
No, I get it.
I'm not trying to bury the guy, but this is the one man who's been carrying everything.
It's been him and Olsen, correct? The team on their back, and
yes.
Now neither of them are playing at a super high level like they were when you were winning games. It's
correct.
Fair. No, it's fair to assess, and like I'm not concerned about Acuña yet because we've seen him. Listen, Acuña is always going to be a pretty high strikeout guy. He's been a pretty high strikeout guy throughout the majority of his career. It's just kind of his play style. Right now, the issue is timing with the fastball, which is something that he was great at when he got back up, which is why they delayed him a little bit further in Gwinnett, as many would have liked. I still think that was the right decision. No need to rush a franchise player back, right? But he's swinging through fastballs right now. You guys can get in. Braves fans, get in. 654 Roar. If you're still watching games, Acuña's swinging through fastballs right now, and I don't necessarily know what the issue is. I saw somebody tweet last night that he got a month with Tim Hyers and he's broken again. Had to have a chuckle at that one. But yeah, I mean, listen, if anything, this is just showcased. Acuña's slump has showcased the points that we've made extensively throughout the course of the program, the season. This is a two-player team right now, and it's Acuña and Olsen. And when those guys don't produce, you don't win and you don't score. It's really as simple as that. So the Braves have been shut out 3 of their last 5 games. Is it a coincidence that directly coincides with Ronald Acuña Jr.'s slump, John? No, it's not, because he was carrying the whole freaking team on his back for the better part of a month.
And like I said, last Friday's game against Philly, like Snitker and I agree with, made the decision very early on.
No need to play him.
No need to play really anybody. Just pull everybody.
Yeah.
That game was over really when it started. But yeah, like I said, I'm not trying to pile on. I understand that Braves fans are not in a great spot right now. Understand that.
Well, John,
but I wanted to bring up, like, it's worth acknowledging the trend one way or the other.
Oh yeah,
like, we acknowledge the trend when his batting average is, you know, near 400. You know, we also got to acknowledge when it's going in the other direction.
I promise that this, I'm not trying to be negative by pointing this out, but I did. I was listening to a bunch of podcasts after the game last night. I was like pacing around my apartment like a maniac. Because for some reason, I'm still invested in this team. I couldn't tell you why. It is what it is. Pulled for the team for too long to just give up and punt. I will watch all 162. I watched all 162 when they were rolling out AJ Pierzynski and Pedro Siriaco. We've seen darker days, and I'm tougher than, you know, I will watch regardless. But I will say this. I promise I'm not trying to be negative. So if you think the Braves' major league offense is bad with a slash line of .243, .318, .379, let me walk you through the farm system where every level down is incrementally worse at the plate and just kind of remind you that help is not on the way. Gwinnett, .228 batting average, .308 OBP, .343 slashing, one of the worst teams in AAA. The Stripers suck. Columbus, .207, .298 OBP, .309 slugging. Rome, .215, .305 OBP, .310 slugging. Augusta, 220, 329 OBP, and 314 slugging. So, like, this isn't a major league problem. This is an organizational problem where nobody in the organization is hitting and all of your teams suck. Again, not trying to be negative, but, like, objectively speaking, the Braves have the same problems every level down in the minors where their pitching is great. And you have all of these arms and prospects that are pumping 100. Giancarlo Lara, you remember when I brought him up and everybody's like, Faxon, why are you calling for a guy that has an 11 ERA and AA to be called up? His last seven appearances, he hasn't given up a run. And he has 103-mile-an-hour stuff, and the slider is turning into an elite secondary pitch. That kid's going to be in the majors sooner rather than later. You are overflowing with pitching talent. You don't have bats at any level of the org right now. So I'm not really sure what to make of that. You guys can make your own assessments. I don't think minor league baseball matters too much, and these kids are young, and they're developing, and I get it. But, like, the fact that you have one of the worst offenses in Major League Baseball, yet every subsequent level of your minor leagues is worse than your already bad Major League club, that's concerning one way or another.
That's massively concerning. So let's walk this out. You have your, like, seven of your nine starters locked up through the end of the decade.
Correct.
And you have nobody worthwhile at triple, double, high A, low A ball.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a massive problem. Guess what? This is all on Alex Anthopoulos.
It's like, the drafting philosophy. You're drafting pitchers with your first and second round picks every year, and you're not drafting players that can actually hit or play in the field.
It's amazing how much more difficult it has been for this team to draft players with the bats once they got popped for all the international money stuff that they, you know, got in trouble with Acuna and Albies and those guys years ago.
Yeah. Shout out to Copy. Thanks for that. Sacrificed yourself for Acuna. We appreciate you, brother. But in all seriousness.
But no, to the point. See, and this is why I want to bring it up. Well, I want to walk this out. I'm glad you brought this up, that every level of it is bad. Because I see so much on Twitter of, oh, we fired the hitting coach, and it's the hitting coach's problem. Carolina D gets on the text line here. The Braves have multiple guys having career low seasons at the plate at the same time. Hard to understand how so many have taken steps back. Hitting coaches need a change. I think it's, we're trying to place the blame on one coach. This is the fault of the general manager. The genius Alex Anthopoulos, there's holes in his game, and we are seeing it exposed in real time.
Agree with
that. Has not supplemented this franchise from top to bottom with quality hitting. And he's getting, we're still carrying water for three deals that he made in 2021.
I do think I think firing Seitzer, which again was largely Anthopoulos' decision, was moronic. I said that when it happened throughout the course of the offseason, that I didn't understand why you fired a guy that won assistant coach of the year and broke records 12 months prior. It felt scapegoaty. That's usually what firing the hitting coach is. It was scapegoaty. Tim Hires sucks in comparison to Kevin Seitzer. And again, the Mariners are going to make playoffs this year, and they're off it. Look at Cal Raleigh. Cal Raleigh might win MVP of the American League. It's Kevin Seitzer as his hitting coach. So, like, I do agree with the texter that Hires and the hitting coach has a negative impact here, but who made that decision? Who made the decision to fire the hitting coach?
Alex Anthopoulos. All the decisions.
Right. So, the Braves have fundamental issues right now from top to bottom. And, listen, I hate to put it like this, but you had a nice run with this core. I'm not throwing the funeral this morning. That's not what I'm doing. You had a nice run with this core. You won championship, okay, with members of the core. You had three good regular seasons, two of which were historic, two of which you won 100-plus games. It's time to pivot. It's time to pivot in the offseason. And I'm not saying make some, listen, I'm not even thinking playoffs internally right now. You're behind the Marlins in the standings, dude. You're 2.5 games ahead of the Pirates, and you're below the Marlins, and you might be below the Nationals soon with what the current trend is. I'm not thinking playoffs. I'm not thinking this year. I'm thinking, how can the Braves retool for next year to put themselves in a position to win 100 games with a loaded pitching staff and a couple members of this core and nucleus that are still really good players, like Acuna, like Olsen. I'd like to see Nick Allen back. Chad the Mailman's probably burning down the station as we speak. But in all seriousness, there are a couple guys I'd love to see back. I like Sean Murphy a lot. I love Drake Baldwin. He's young. He's going to be a really good player for a long time for the Atlanta Braves. There are pieces here that can take you to a competitive standard next season, and maybe even as soon as the back half of this season where you can start building some things. But it's time to pivot, is the point. And multiple members of this core need to go. Not just saying that from a production standpoint, you need to change the vibe right now in Atlanta. You do. We've been saying this since the beginning of the season. Manager is going to go. That's all but a given at this point. Coaching staff is going to be restructured. Working under the assumption that that happens this offseason, I think you need a fundamental change with what your approach is as an organization to drafting, what positions and what skill sets you prioritize in the draft. And then to further that point, you need to get away from some of these long-term contracts and get them off the books to give yourself some more flexibility. Because, John, the issue, and you hit the nail on the head with it, the issue is that the Braves are stuck right now at the deadline because if you're trading someone, it's somebody that's under club control for like six seasons. So the money's got to make sense wherever they're going, and the money's got to make sense coming in the back end as well. That's a difficult deal to make, especially mid-season, and much easier to trade where you can talk to a bunch of different general managers throughout the course of an offseason. So all of that to be said, I think the Braves have a lot of things that are great that are going for them going into the future. I think the upper echelon pitching staff of Sale, Strider, potentially getting Lopez back in the mix next year, Smith-Shawver's going to get healthy eventually, Schwellenbach is turning into an ace, you have a top five bullpen in the National League contrary to what happened last night, you have a ton of pitching prospects like Fuentes, Caminiti, and Lara that are studs. You're set in one department of your organization. Your pitching is great. Your pitching is set up to be great going forward. But it's time to pivot with what the methods of the madness is in the draft. You don't need to draft more pitching. You need somebody that can come in and play shortstop or second base in the next 2 years this year in the draft. You need somebody that could potentially replace Austin Riley at the hot corner if his defense continues to struggle and you need to transition him to a DH or left field role in the future. You need somebody that is going to give you another option in center field if Michael Harris goes into a prolonged slump, or that can give Ronnie a day off when he needs one because he's nursing that ACL rehab. You need all of these things. And right now, the issue with the Braves is they just don't have the organizational depth to cover for the flaws within their team. They don't have the players that are good enough to make an impact at the major league level laid in throughout the minors as many organizations have.
On the other side of this break, let's get a little positive, because tonight is the night of the return. The big free agent signing, the guy who was supposed to really help carry things.
Yeah. Profar
is making his return this evening. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for Jurickson Profar. So we'll see what transpires tonight. We'll break it down on the other side of a quick break. 654 Roar is the number. If you want to check in here with Faxon and John, we'll wrap the Braves segment and talk and the upcoming segment and continue to talk some college football and stuff as well on the back end. Stay with us.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/radio to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
No one wants it to happen to them, but unfortunately, chances are good that at some point, it'll happen to you. Roof troubles. It's one of the most important parts of your biggest investment. So when you need repairs or a new installation, you need someone who you can trust to get the job done right. you need Joe Robertson and Son Roofing.
As a family-owned and operated roofing company since 1965, Joe Robertson and Son have built a reputation for quality craftsmanship. It's why thousands of upstate home and business owners have chosen them for their roofing needs. Beyond providing quality work they're proud to stand by, Joe Robertson and Son Roofing also takes a client-first approach to their job. That means quality roofing, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. Put it all together, and it's easy to see why they're the upstate's premier roofing provider.
You can't cut corners when it comes to roof repairs and installation, so go with the trusted name in the upstate. Go with Joe Robertson and Son Roofing. Get started today by visiting them online at robertsonroofing.net.
All right, huddle up, guys. Hey, are you hurt? Better send in the special team. Trammell and Mills, get in there. I call them the local law firm because they're local lawyers, not just a bunch of talking heads. And they know how to win. When one of you gets injured at work or wrecked in a pileup, Trammell and Mills are fighting for you. Okay, call that number.
485-8585. Hood, hood.
That's the right call. Trammell and Mills, local lawyers that know how to play the insurance game.
When you're on the water, peace of mind is priceless. Towboat US on Lakes Hartwell and Kiwi offer memberships starting at just $109 a year for freshwater services like towing, jump starts, fuel delivery, soft ungrounding, boat recovery, and more. Visit HartwellLakeServices.com.
It's bow time. Introducing Bojangles' new breakfast burrito. It's your favorite crispy bow rounds, savory sausage, fluffy eggs, cheese, and southern gravy all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. But hurry, it's here for a limited time. It's bow time.
Turn any day into a special occasion when you give her fine jewelry from Turner's Jewelers. Our experts will help you find a dazzling necklace, sparkling earrings, or a stunning bracelet. You know what she loves better than anyone. Turner's can customize a unique piece crafted flawlessly to show your love story. And when it's time to look for engagement or wedding rings, you can count on Turner's Jewelers to make the perfect day even better. Dream up a magical gift at turnersjewelers.com or visit Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center in Seneca.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersSleep.com.
Life doesn't wait, and neither should you. Aleve can help you deal with pain less throughout your day. Whether it's a long day on your feet, a demanding workout, or everyday aches and pains, you need relief that can keep up when pain persists. Aleve is here for you with longer-lasting body pain relief compared to leading OTC-branded pain relievers. With just one pill, Aleve lasts up to 12 hours. Don't let those aches hold you back from doing what's important to you. Use as directed.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Tigers, Gamecocks, Bulldogs, and more. We're getting you ready for the upcoming football season every day, all summer long. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number. We're talking Braves baseball and going to keep it brief in this segment. We're going to preview tonight's game, what's happening tomorrow as well, and then throughout the course of the weekend in Major League Baseball and with the Atlanta Braves. The Braves flip-flopped the rotation headed into this matchup with Los Angeles because they wanted Grant Holmes to be able to throw in the first game, and he did his job as we referenced in the previous segment. Tonight it's going to be Didier Fuentes against a longtime vet from Japan and Yusei Kikuchi. Kikuchi used to be with the Mariners, pitched out on the West Coast for ages, then bounced around to the Blue Jays. Good player. Good player with a sub-3 ERA. He's been good again this year. Veteran guy that you know what you're going to get from that left-handed side. So I would say Los Angeles has the pitching matchup and advantage tonight. And then you head to tomorrow's matchup on Thursday, and it's going to be Elder versus Jose Soriano. And again, I would give the pitching matchup advantage to the Angels. So Hope the Braves can get one of the next two. In all honesty, I don't feel confident in the slightest with Didier Fuentes out there. I think the kid's got major upside. He's 20, and the command is a big-time concern right now. So Braves offense is going to have to put up some runs over the next 2 days with Fuentes and Elder on the mound, and it's really just as simple as that in my eyes. So we'll see what transpires throughout the course of this series. And you get Jurickson Profar back in the fray tonight, John. So this is really the first time all year that you're going to see your quote-unquote healthy lineup at full strength, and maybe that makes an impact, but I'm not sure that that's going to be this massive lift to this team. Maybe it is. I think he helps, but he can't hit for Nick Allen. He can't hit for Michael Harris. He can't hit for Ozzy. He can't hit for any of those guys. So hopefully Profar can do enough to provide a jolt, and hopefully we can start to get some guys heated up. Listen, if there's a positive from last night, John, before I throw it back to you, I mentioned the importance of Austin Riley starting to get going. He had 3 hits last night. That would be my big positive takeaway from yesterday, is that Austin is starting to put together some more quality ABs, and he looked good at the plate last night with 3 hits. So maybe Austin can continue to build on that. But excited to have Profar back nonetheless. It'll be good to see him in a Braves jersey. However, I feel like he might get booed, and I'm not really even joking tonight at Truist Park.
He very well may, but that will be the first at bat. But guess what? If he makes contact and he gets on base,
yeah,
they're not going to boo him anymore. We're all going to be all excited about the big ticket signing that Alex Anthopoulos made this offseason. You know, I talked about it yesterday, about the importance of today's game and what it means for the next 11. And we saw it kind of, you know, them tip their hand a little bit about that last night with Michael Harris back in the lineup. I think that Alex Anthopoulos, Brian Snitker, and the brain trust of the Atlanta Braves organization wants to see what this team looks like the way it was fully put together in the offseason. You know, I think that if any moves are going to be made, buying or selling, they're not going to be made until after the series with the St. Louis Cardinals is over. Because I think you want to have some sort of a sample size, what the lineup looks like, fully put together.
Yeah.
I think Anthopoulos is going to use the next week and a half, almost 2 weeks here, to get some data together, because you had 3 games with Profar without Acuna. This will be the first time you've had your outfield, as you drew it up in the offseason, on the field together. So I think you are going to use these next couple series to see what it really looks like fully assembled. And then I think he makes his decision from there in terms of buying or selling, and what are they trying to go out there and get, or what are they trying to move.
I think that he should be fired if the Braves are giving up real assets to buy. I don't think there's any point. I get it. Like, I'm not trying to be too doom and gloom and Austin saying the same thing where it's like, hey, you can still get to 500 by the All-Star break. And that is very well true. And I haven't given up on the season. I'm still watching all the games. You have no incentive to buy. You have no incentive to buy. Chris Sale is out for the next 2 months. He was put on the 60-day IL yesterday as a part of that move. You don't have Raylando Lopez, and you're not going to have him for the remainder of the season. You don't have A.J. Smith-Shawver, and you're not going to have him for the remainder of the season. That's your three best starting pitchers, or 3 of your best 4 starting pitchers, that you are either not going to have for the rest of the year or not going to have for the rest of the 2 months. On top of that, and to further that point, we mentioned the lack of organizational depth. You can't afford to barter the few good prospects that you do have to try and crawl out of a hole just to come up short. Like, because what if Nacho does pan out and Nacho ends up being a pretty good player? Ozzy's going to get this club option declined. You need these guys that are in AAA right now, even if they've underperformed, to be able to at least provide a warm body that could be usable next year. Because you're not going to have a ton of money to spend in free agency. That's the other thing, is you don't have an ownership group that's going to be willing to spend over an X amount of dollars every year. You're going to be in the 8 to 12 range in payroll every year. That's good enough to win if you can win the margins. The Braves won the margins for years. This is the first year that they're not winning the margins with those contracts. So, to be honest, John, I don't think that this is a buy-sell conversation anymore. I think that you're just more in the position where you just have to ride it out with the guys that you got. And if you're going to upgrade, it has to be in a 2021 fashion where you're giving, like, minor leaguers that no one gives a rip about, or cash considerations for, like, a replacement-level major leaguer like Soler, or a guy like Jock Peterson that no one wants. And it's just like, we hope we can rekindle this magic they once had, because, like, if the Braves would have made the Devers trade, how screwed would they be right now? A lot of people wanted to trade for Rafael Devers. Imagine if you had 8 more years of $28 million on the book for Devers and you were still sitting down the barrel of 8 games below 500. I just don't want them to make a panic move to buy just to signify to the fan base that, like, hey, we're not waving the white flag yet, and then end up giving up a valuable asset in return. I feel like my perspective's got to be understandable to an extent from that. And that's not coming from a place of negativity. I just don't want the Braves to barter with a piece of the future for something short-term that just doesn't look likely to make the playoffs this year. And Texter gets in with another good point. If adding Acuna back didn't make much of a difference, I'm not sure adding Profar does either. And that's another fairly decent point.
But what if that is... what if that is the spark? Because we got a couple texts in the last segment about, yeah, no wonder Ronald Acuna is playing so poorly. He's tired of carrying this team. There's too much on his plate. We got several texts along those lines, right? That this is Ronald Acuna kind of quiet quitting the Braves. But what if this is the spark that he needs to turn his game back around? And now you have 3 out of the 9 in the lineup that are producing. And when we talk about hitting being contagious, what if Michael Harris can look over on both sides of the outfield and see people who can put the bat on the ball? What that sparks something in him? This team is too talented to come out here and act like it's all doom and gloom and there's no chance in making a run here.
They're doing it to themselves with the vibes and the demeanor that they approach the game towards on the field.
That is my point. What if this... you know, we talked about the lift that Ronald Acuna provided for Ozzie Albies when he came back into the lineup. Ozzie looked like he was having fun again because he had somebody to pal around with. Why can't this have some of the same effect?
Yeah.
Why can't this just spark a little? Because guess what this team needs right now? You don't need 3 months worth of confidence. You need a week's worth. You need to go take care of business against the Angels tonight and tomorrow. And against the dreadful Baltimore Orioles. He can provide enough of a spark to get you through 2 series. And then maybe get some guys to start, you know, actually getting their head out of the you-know-what and playing better baseball.
Having Profar back in the lineup is an undeniable positive. There's just... it's the point... sometimes in life, things get to the point where it's overwhelming. I've reached that point with the Braves where the amount of issues are overwhelming. Ozuna is very clearly hurt and is hurting this team. Every time that Ozuna walks on the field, it's hurting this team. It's a negative. Every time Marcell Ozuna walks on the field, it's a negative. And there's still people that are defending this organization for him playing. I don't care if you're getting Beavis and Butthead out of high A. Never play Marcell Ozuna again until he's healthy. This is a massive negative impact on this team each and every time he's walking on the field. And it's borderline organizational malpractice to continue to play Alex Verdugo with people that have all the access in the world to data and just objective data that would indicate that he's one of the worst players in all of Major League Baseball. Like, this isn't a one-issue thing anymore. This isn't a vibes thing anymore. This isn't a one player needs to turn it around anymore. Like, it's reached the point for me personally, again, not trying to be negative, where it's overwhelming and the amount of issues just continue to pile and stack up. And it's not like the Braves are getting healthier. The Braves are getting more injured and their better players are continuing to get injured, including the best pitcher in Major League Baseball to date, which has been Chris Sale this year. So I'm just having trouble seeing what the light at the end of the tunnel looks like for this team. I think that the fact that Ozuna continues to get ABs and nobody in the organization has like stepped in yet, I think it's just really disappointing from like a moral perspective as well. And it hurts to see somebody that's so very clearly physically hindered and injured continue to go out there and take terrible AB after terrible AB. And I'm supposed to believe that's for the sake of helping the team when in fact it's doing the complete inverse. So I'm just working under the presumption that Ozuna is probably going to be out for multiple months as well at some point during the season, because that would be the correct decision. And I think that's just kind of where I'm at right now. I don't think that... Texter's getting in with the leadership problem. That might be true. I just don't know how much it matters right now. I mean, we're reaching the point of an injury crisis for a third consecutive season in Atlanta. You have 3 of your top 4 pitchers out, including your Cy Young winner. Your best player missed more than half the season. Ozuna is just a complete shell of himself and injured. You haven't had Profar all year, so it is what it is. Hopefully the Braves get it done tonight. Hopefully the Braves can find a way to turn things around this weekend. And we're coming in on Monday morning, and we're previewing a series against the A's, and you picked up 4 out of 5, and things look a little bit better. But I'm having issues seeing the vision right now, in all honesty. Texter gets in and says, why not let Baldwin DH when he's not catching? we've asked this for 3 months. Brian Snitker apparently knows better than I do, man. That's all I've got to say is Snitker has continued to make these decisions that don't work and digs his heels deeper and deeper into the sand. And there's nobody to hold him accountable. There's nobody to hold anybody in the organization accountable, which is how you get a massive organizational failure like you have in rendition of the 2025 Atlanta Braves. I don't like people pointing fingers at one person for this. This is a top-to-bottom failure. This started with Liberty Media trying to skirt the tax and being cheap because they don't care enough about winning to invest into their team. It trickled down to Alex Anthopoulos making incorrect decisions with the amount of money he was given, which was not enough to compete with the best teams in this league. Then it furthered down to the decision to keep a manager that's clearly past his best days as a manager and is fringing on incompetent at the wheel of for the Braves right now managing this team. Then you further that point to the firing the hitting coach decision, which makes no sense, and the hiring of Tim Hyers, which made even less sense in totality, and now you have this mass regression from your nucleus of players, and that's how you find yourself at 36-48. So we're going to shift gears in the upcoming segment. We're going to talk college football. To be candid, I'm sick of talking about the Braves, so let's talk about college football in the upcoming segment. 654 Roar is the number.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
At Lake Kiwi Ford and Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing. You get the manufacturer's rebate. You get the dealer discount. You get every available discount. Military, college grad, subprime credit. If there's a discount you qualify for, we'll find it and give it to you. That's how Lake Kiwi guarantees you get the best price. And that's why if you buy somewhere else, you're going to pay too much. So come see us. We're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford offer transparent pricing, meaning you get every available discount. And right now, the discounts are huge because at Lake Kiwi, it's the final days of employee pricing for everyone. You pay what the factory worker pays, not a penny more. And the best part, with Lake Kiwi's transparent pricing, you see all of the savings. So go see the team at Lake Kiwi. They're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
Experience the reliability of Davis Services, where your comfort is our priority. We specialize in the maintenance, service, and installation of all major HVAC brands for both residential homes and small businesses. With over 5,000 satisfied maintenance customers, a dedicated team of 100 employees, and more than 60 service vehicles, we ensure prompt and precise attention to your needs. Whether it's heating, cooling, plumbing, or pest control, we've got you covered. Call 864-432-1785 today to experience unparalleled service.
Spring is a time of growth, but it can also reveal hidden problems beneath your home. Call Canty Foundation Specialist for a free inspection of the cracks in your walls, uneven floors, and sticking doors. These are signs you shouldn't ignore. Canty provides expert solutions to protect your home. Visit CantyCanFixIt.com or call 864-403-5263. Canty Foundation Specialists.
Canty can fix it.
When you wake up well rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's the Actually Really Seriously best sale of the year for real at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 on Sealy and get a free adjustable base, plus fast free delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues. I want to tell you real quick about Morgan Coleman and Morgan Coleman Real Estate. Morgan Coleman, a proud Clemson women's soccer alum and an upstate native. She's hung up her cleats, but now she spends her time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville area. Her goal is to provide her clients with a peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their lives. It's important to have early convos with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. And if you are considering buying or selling, Morgan Coleman would love to chat. You can give her a phone call at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started. We're going to shift gears. We're going to talk some college football at 654 Roar. A couple college football related topics to get to throughout the course of the program today. I've seen a bunch of discourse, obviously, as things are starting to heat up in all of college athletics and college football right now. Something I wanted to briefly hit on just because we talked about this ownership or kind of recent ownership yesterday. Did you see what Jeremiah Smith came out yesterday and said about Michigan?
Yeah, that he... I don't know why players still feel the need to do this. He came out and said, quote, "I am not a sore loser, but I hate losing, and losing to that team up north was pretty crazy. In the end, I think it helped us... It helped us play the way we did in the playoffs, but I didn't want to go to Ohio State and lose to that team up north. I just hate them, just something about them. I will, for the next 2 years, I promise you, I will not lose to them. I can't lose to them in the next 2 years," end quote.
Yeah.
Bold strategy when they've won three in a row?
Yeah. I mean, this has been a big bro, little bro in recent memory for Michigan and Ohio State. I don't really even know what to say. That's it's bold. If you're going to talk, you might as well talk as the defending national champion, but you got to find a way to beat Michigan. Another thing briefly before we get more into the weeds of college football and bring up some more nuanced topics. Did you see this new look Pac-12 and how they've now planned to add Texas State to the next rendition of the Pac-12?
They have added Texas State to the next rendition of the Pac-12 when it becomes formal next year with the new league there. Yeah, interesting pick there for Texas State to come into this league. I know that they were trying a lot of different options. I don't know where I sit if this is a... I don't believe this is a power league. I think this is another mid-major conference, if you will. But I like some of the fits. I like some of the grouping here. I find it very odd, though, that Texas, the state, has every conference represented in it. I think except for like the Big Ten. I feel like every conference is represented somehow in the...
in
everything
the
but the Big Ten. Yeah, it's just nuts. We have the Atlantic Coast represented. We have the Pacific Coast represented. Mountain West, Big 12, SEC, you name it. The American Conference USA. It's all there. So I like the fit. I think that they, you know, desperately had to get to 8 football playing members by this time, because a reminder, Gonzaga is also in this league, but they are not a football playing member. They'll obviously be carrying a lot of weight on the hoop side of things. But I think in terms of what you had to pull from on the West Coast, there's not a ton of options. A lot of the Mountain West decided to stay intact. I think it makes some sense. And I, you know, gives you a... For a lot of people out there, they say getting into Texas is a very big deal. I will just choose to tip my cap to those who know more about the restructuring and realignment of this sport. But, you know, if that's like a huge add to be into Texas, but this is a program that is growing. This is a university that is growing. And right there in between Houston and Austin, that's all just going to become one giant suburb at some point in time. It's a good school to pick. So I think the league will be very fun to watch. It'll be very intriguing. I think it has a little more spice than the Mountain West does. But I think it's basically just another version of the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, and now that... So they make the move ahead of the July 1st deadline when the buyout to leave the Sun Belt would have doubled from $5 million to $10 million. The university system held a special board of regents meeting on Monday to authorize the buyout and clear the way to join the Pac-12. Boise State, Fresno State, Colorado State, San Diego State, and Utah State are set to join Oregon State and Washington State, in addition to Texas State now as full members in 2026. Basketball powerhouse Gonzaga is joining as a non-football member. Commissioner Teresa Gold said, "We are extremely excited to welcome Texas State as a foundational member of the new Pac-12. It is a new day in college sports and the most opportune time to launch a new league that is positioned to succeed in today's landscape with student athletes in mind." So GT Kenny has really elevated that football program, and now they're in a position to where they get a chance to play in what is not going to be considered a power league, but I guess is probably as close to a power league as you can get that's not a power league. As a former power league that's kind of been relegated, I don't necessarily know what to make of the Pac-12 and kind of what their status level is headed into this upcoming season when they do revamp and retool. But, you know, definitely a conference that's got enough respectable athletic departments to be acknowledged in this new landscape of collegiate athletics. Let's get Delvin in here on the phone lines at 654-ROAR. Delvin, it's good to hear from you, brother. How we living?
I'm doing good. How much you think Sacramento State trying to go independent, FBS going to play a part of this too, whether they go to the Mount Wizard or Pac-12? I know the NCAA denied them a waiver, but they're still going to try to go FBS and be an independent. How much do you think they're going to play in the fight, though, in the next couple of years if they do go independent, in which conference they go to the Mount Wizard or the Pac-12?
Well, Delvin, I think part of the problem is nobody wants them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think either of those two leagues has any strong interest in Sacramento State. I don't know if the way that they are carrying themselves and being loud and brash is the type of business these other university presidents want to do business with. We've seen in other levels of college athletics, like when Florida State's calling out everybody and you know, trying to state their claim and they're basically going to do their own thing. It rubs a lot of people the wrong way. So I could understand both of these leagues just being like, hold on a second. You coming out of nowhere and just you're talking all this talk, it's giving some of these people pause. I can understand it.
Yeah, even though they got money, I think both of them said, we don't care about the money. It's where you at and doesn't make us care.
Yeah, I mean, Sac State has essentially pigeonholed themselves into a scenario now where they're having to play as an FCS independent for this year, which I'm not even sure how they're going to formulate a schedule doing that. I think they've screwed this whole thing up massively. I think this whole influx of cash out there is nothing but a facade and a fraud, if you want me to be honest with you. And I think this is going to be a resounding failure in the new generation of collegiate athletics. I think that they're trying to be innovative, and I think that they're trying to push for all these things, and they're coming out with all this messaging, and I think there's a whole lot of bark and not a lot of bite with Sac State right now, Delvin. So for what it's worth and for where my money would be, I don't think any of these conferences are going to take them. I think they're going to let them be stranded out in the middle of nowhere with their little rinky-dink stadium that's not really big enough to be a Power League stadium even with renovations, and they're going to end up screwed. That's kind of where I'm at on Sac State. I don't think there's a plan. I think they just thought that they were going to get a conference handed to them on a platter that was going to want Sac State in their league. Bro, you've won 4 conference championships across major sports in the last 30 years in the Big Sky. You don't have pull. You don't have fans. Like, there's no legitimacy to what Sac State is doing right now. And I hate to be that critical, but it is what it is.
Yeah, because we just saw yesterday officially Delaware and Missouri State officially go to the Conference USA yesterday.
What does that tell you if those athletic departments are landing conferences and Sac State can't? What does that tell you?
Yeah, they tell you that they got respect and they've been winning. Delaware has been a good football program in FCS for a long time, and so is Missouri State. And then if we get Northern Illinois, they're going to the Mountain West too in football, so that's crazy too.
Yep, everybody's got a landing spot except Sac State. And Texter gets in and says Presbyterian was an independent FCS. Schedule was crazy, weird teams all over the place. Not going to work out for Sac State all the way over there. Big trouble. Agreed. I think they're completely screwed. And I think they've messed this whole thing up just about every step of the way. And if I were a conference, what is my incentive in throwing a life raft to Sac State, who has been nothing but arrogant and brash throughout this process, as John alluded to, isn't going to bring me an influx of fans, more likely than not, considering what the, you know, regional looks and asks are for Sac State, you're not adding some new market or some big market. You're not adding some influx of revenue across their athletic department for what they're bringing to your league. And it's not like they have a massive fan base either. So, like, what is the incentive? And this is a question that I haven't necessarily heard anybody ask. What's the incentive to any league adding Sacramento State? What are they providing for your league?
They should have learned from San Diego State. I mean, San Diego State now in the Pac-12. Remember, they try to be brash and try to bail out the Mountain West. Mountain West said, you can stay out there if you want to. We ain't going to help you out. They had to apologize and come back. Now they're going to the Pac-12 now, but they try to jump out too early. And you saw what happened to them for a little bit. I won't say they got punished for it, but, you know, Mountain West wasn't going to help them out or nothing.
Yeah, I just, to be honest, I think Sac State's, they've screwed this thing up massively. I agree on the fronts of San Diego State, some of those other programs. Hey, Delvin, we appreciate you checking in. Yeah, of course. Appreciate you checking in this morning. And John, yeah, that's we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk about, you know, more of what's going on next season after we wrap this topic. But everybody kind of keeps pigeonholing Sac State into this new look Pac-12. Like, I've seen that a lot where it's like, oh, they're just going to end up in one of the West Coast conferences. I don't think either of those conferences want Sacramento State or anything to do with them. Just in the way that I'm on the outside looking in and I'm inheriting all this messaging, I don't see what the financial or the logical incentive is for the Pac-12 or the Mountain West to open Sac State with open arms and just be like, yeah, we're going to give you exactly what you want. I don't see the incentive.
There isn't one, and if there was, they would have already done it, because as we have seen in college athletics, if there's any incentive whatsoever for higher-ups at the conference level to do something, they're going to do it.
Yeah. I know there's been a lot of talk of the Big West as well for Sacramento State. That's where they're joining the Big West in all sports except for football. Again, they're currently homeless in football, and they're in the Big West in all of the other sports, which, we will reiterate, is an upgrade over the Big Sky, where they were already winning nothing and failing resoundingly throughout the athletic department with a bad men's basketball team, a bad women's basketball team, and a mediocre football team. So I'm not really seeing the sell here. Like, if news broke tomorrow that North Dakota State was going FBS, there would be people banging down the door to get them in their conference. Same to be said about South Dakota State. There's a lot of FCS schools that would have. There are other schools within the Big Sky that have significantly more pull and significantly more of a selling card to make that transition than Sacramento State. Idaho has already been FBS. Montana and Montana State generate more revenue with better teams, better programs, more success, more money than Sacramento State. That's three teams in your own old conference right there that have more pull than you do, and you're trying to make the leap. I don't know what's going on out there. I think it's Clown Town USA, and I think it's going to be an absolute disaster out in Sacramento. So sorry if anyone's a Sac State fan, but this is one of the more perplexing things that I can remember in all my years watching and covering college football and collegiate athletics. I've never seen a team less prepared or primed to take the leap throughout the course of their athletic department, so insistent that they belong with the big boys and deserve a piece of the pie and a seat at the table. It's perplexing to me. 654-ROAR if you want to get in. John, let's since we're on the topic of Pac-12, before we go into the final hour of the program, we can run through some of this NFL fact or fiction stuff that I know you brought to the table. I want to talk some NFL in the final segment. Do we want to give like a rough power rankings of what we expect the new look Pac-12 to kind of be based on what you would take going forward? Because now we have a concoction of 8-9 teams, and I actually think we have some pretty respectable programs in the Pac-12. Like, you're talking about Boise State, Fresno State, Texas State, San Diego State, Washington State, Utah State, Oregon State, and Colorado State. All of those programs are competent, which maybe outside of Utah State football is never technically very good, but I see reasons to be encouraged about what the new look Pac-12 is with the addition of Texas State, and I think this could be a more respectable conference than people may anticipate. What are your thoughts, and who do you think is kind of the top dog outside of Boise State, which I think is the gimme answer here, to kind of run things in the new look Pac-12, if you will? Are there any teams or programs that you like the direction of in this new form of the league?
You know, I thought it was going to be Sean Lewis at San Diego State was very high on that hire, going away from Brady Hoke into a much more 21st century offense. But they went 3-9 in year one and looked very out of sorts. And so that gives me a little bit of pause there. Obviously, we know the success the basketball team has had. I think one that I'd be willing to hitch my wagon to outside of Boise in this league, and I think there's a lot of rebranding to try to make this a sexy version of the Mountain West, but at the end of the day, like, I don't think any of these programs are really going to compete and push for a ton nationally. But if I'm going to take a team that I think can make some noise in this league annually because of the hire that they just made this offseason, and Bronco Mendenhall is their new head coach, give me Utah State. This is a guy out there who knows how to navigate that part of the country. It's a guy who took Virginia to an ACC championship game.
He did.
Virginia football to a conference title championship game and dominated things at BYU when he was out there. This is his neck of the woods. This is his part of the country. I mean, he got New Mexico last year to 5 wins. Very few coaches in this sport can do that. He's one of the best at taking have-nots and turning them into haves within their leagues and within their competition. Yeah, give me Bronco Mendenhall in Utah State. I like it. I like the direction of this program.
What are your thoughts, before we take a quick break, on Washington State's future now that they've had a coaching change and really undergone a whole identity shift this offseason?
I am to be determined with Washington State and Oregon State.
Okay.
I liked the hire. I think Jimmy Rogers did incredible things at South Dakota State. They were one of the best programs at that level. I mean, he was 27-3 as a head coach. Great record. Deserves the step up. But I just don't know if you're in Corvallis or if you're in Pullman. Like, what are you selling right now on the recruiting trail? And that's where I just have some pause.
Yeah. You're kind of the... With Oregon State and Washington State, like, how are you selling kids on being a former power school that's no longer a power? Like, you're almost admitting inferiority with the move that they've made with this conference realignment. And I worry about the funding. I worry about the lifestyle changes for, you know, the infrastructure in place for these schools that have been P4s for ages, no longer P4s. We'll unpack this. We'll walk more of this out on the Pac-12 in the upcoming hour. We'll also talk some college football and some NFL with Faxon and John here on The Roar. Final hour of the week on the other side of a quick break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are...